Good afternoon. My name is Bhavika Kaul. I am a pulmonary critical care fellow at UCSF and a research fellow at the San Francisco VA. I'm happy to be sharing the results of a project we've been working on, looking at the impact of community care on timeliness to treatment in veterans who have sleep apnea. As many of you may already know, obstructive sleep apnea occurs when a patient's airway becomes blocked despite efforts to breathe. The diagnosis is made by a sleep study in which patients' airflow and breathing attempts can be continuously monitored. Sleep studies can be done either in a patient's home, and that's what's shown here, or they can be done in a supervised sleep lab. If a sleep study is positive, the mainstay of therapy is this machine called a CPAP machine, which provides continuous positive airway pressure and helps stent these upper airways open. Therapy is important because untreated sleep apnea can lead to poor quality of life, but it can also lead to cardiac and pulmonary complications in the future. We know in the veterans, sleep apnea impacts over 1 million veterans, and the prevalence has been increasing with a documented prevalence of 13% in 2017. And as the demand for services increases, this is slowly outstripping our resources that we have in the VA to provide this care. And as we've seen in a lot of other subspecialty care, there's been an increased trend in outsourcing of veterans care. This is done through two main mechanisms. One is fee-based care, and then with the implementation of the CHOICE program in 2015 through CHOICE Care. And through CHOICE, veterans are eligible to receive care in the community, either if they can't get a medical appointment in under 30 days, or if they live more than 40 miles from a VA medical facility. However, what we don't know is whether this outsourcing has improved the efficiency of our care delivery. And so our research question was, among San Francisco veterans seeking care for sleep apnea, is there a difference in time to care delivery for patients who receive care in-house, so this is care within the VA, compared to those who receive outsourced care? And to capture the full spectrum of the care delivery process, we identified three time points of interest. So the first time point was the date of the sleep referral. This was often placed by the primary care provider. The second was the date of the sleep study. And then the third was the date the veteran received a CPAP through prosthetics. Data was extracted by the Office of Community Care Informatics teams using our sleep CPT codes as our anchor points. And then from there, we were able to identify the date of the referral as well as the subsequent date of prosthetics. We did manual chart review of 10% of the VA data to verify the accuracy, and we actually chart reviewed every single one of the outsourced data points to verify that accuracy. And what we found in San Francisco was that there were 2,812 veterans with sleep CPT codes who were eligible. In the in-house care, this was 2,623 veterans. In fee-based, there were 44, and in CHOICE, there were 145. In the VA arm, we ended up excluding 938 patients because they didn't have any CPAP data, and this was either because they didn't have sleep apnea or the patient declined CPAP, or in some cases, they wanted to try alternative therapies like dental surgeries or mandibular advancement devices before trying a CPAP. And so this ultimately led to a total of 1,685 veterans through the VA arm who were eligible. In fee-based care, all of those veterans ended up receiving a CPAP machine, so none were excluded. And in CHOICE, we excluded 79 patients, 60 of whom had no records of CPAP. So I'll actually come back to this data in a few slides to give you more information on the CHOICE arm. But this ultimately yielded 66 patients who were eligible. And what we found when we compared the characteristics of those three cohorts was that there really was no difference between sex, mean age at testing, race and ethnicity between VA care, fee-based care, and CHOICE. However, there was a significant difference when you look at rurality. About 30% of our VA patients were rural compared to almost 90% of the fee-based care and CHOICE. And then this is our data for timeliness to care delivery. So I've kept the process map up in the right upper hand corner as a reminder that the three time points we were interested in was sleep referral to sleep study to CPAP. And we'll go through these one at a time. If we first look at referral to sleep study, so that's time point 0 to time point 1, what we find is the median time to care delivery in the VA arm was 91 days. In fee-based care, it was 237 days, and in choice care, it was 80 days. And this resulted in a statistically significant difference between VA and fee-based care when we compare those medians, and no significant difference between VA and choice. If we look at time point 1 to time point 2, so that's sleep study to CPAP, on average it took the VA 5 days, for fee-based care 40 days, and for choice care 87 days, which resulted in a statistically significant difference between VA and fee-based care, as well as between VA and choice. And so now if we look at the whole process, so from the sleep referral to the CPAP, on average in the VA it took 112 days, in fee-based care 330 days, and in choice care 172 days, which resulted in a statistically significant difference in those groups. And so what we realized here was that the time to care delivery was actually much longer in the outsourced care arm. And so one of the questions we had when we saw this data was, is it possible that by offloading care from the VA to the community, we are driving down the time to care delivery within the VA? So we then looked at our sleep study volume internally in San Francisco. And then this is the volume from 2012 to 2018. On the y-axis, you have number of sleep studies. On the x-axis, you have the fiscal year. And what you actually see is our sleep study volume, especially between 2017 and 2018, is going up quite rapidly. And this jump between 2017 and 2018 occurred because we implemented home sleep apnea testing at San Francisco. So that allowed us to reach a lot more veterans, especially our rural sites. As I promised, I was going to come back to these 60 choice patients who never ended up getting a CPAP, and we couldn't find any records for them in our electronic medical record, CPRS. So what I did is I personally called all those patients to see what happened, and this is what they told me. So 20% of those patients had no sleep apnea. They had been told during their sleep study they didn't have it, which is not surprising because we know about 20 to 30% of the sleep studies we do, the veterans actually don't have sleep apnea. But what was concerning is, I'm not sure if this clicker works there to see, but the 10% said that they were told they had sleep apnea, but never received a CPAP machine. And then 30% said they completed their sleep study but had never received the results and were actually so happy when I called them because they were interested in re-engaging in care. So this is highly concerning because it's 40% of those 60 patients who have been lost to follow-up and fallen through the cracks. So I've shown you the timeliness data, but one other angle that we've been thinking about is the cost of care. And I saw Dr. Donovan walk in a little bit earlier in the audience. His group out of Seattle published this a little bit earlier, looking at sleep care in community versus sleep care internally in the VA. And what they found was that in the community, providers are more likely to order in-lab testing. So if you recall, I said that there's two ways that veterans can get sleep studies, either at their home or in-lab through a supervised polysomnogram. There's a huge price difference there. So an in-lab study costs around $600, and a home sleep study costs $170. So this results in a significant cost difference between VA and outsourced care. And if we take this a step further as we think about our make versus buy model, if we were to keep this care internally in the VA, a VA sleep tech can do about 1,000 studies per year. And the cost of the tech for salary and benefits is about $100,000, plus the supplies of the home sleep study. Per sleep study, it costs $16 for us to do it. Now, if we did that same care in the community per 1,000 studies, looking at Medicare reimbursements, if we said 100% of those patients had home sleep studies, we're still talking about $500,000 a year. And if the status quo continues where we're doing mostly polysomnograms, the in-lab studies in the community, we're talking about $2.5 million a year per 1,000 studies. And so what are our solutions? I don't want to present only problems. I want to give some solutions. And so one of the things that we've been working on is the Office of Rural Health Telesleep Program. And the PI for this grant is actually my mentor, Dr. Katie Sarmiento. One of the things we've been working on is developing hub-spoke programs internally within the VA. So what does this mean? This means as San Francisco, we can offload Las Vegas's VA if they are under-resourced for sleep by serving as the hub for that site. We've developed more telehealth options, and we've increased home sleep testing. One question that I'm sure people have is, well, you've presented the San Francisco data, but what does it look like nationally? And part of it depends on the resources per site. We currently have a national survey out to evaluate that. But what I do want to show you is this map, which is the volume of outsourced care via choice. And I'll play it. It's a video from 2015 to 2018. Let's see if this plays. I'm going to see if it plays from here. And what you can see is the volume of outsourced care will increase. This is 2016, 2017, and then it goes down actually in 2018 with the implementation of our telesleep program. That's okay. If it doesn't play, I'll just skip forward to the conclusions. And so what we concluded with from this was a couple of things. One is that the median time to care delivery, so that's from sleep referral to CPAP, was significantly longer in the outsourced care group, that these differences in time to care delivery was driven in part by the wait time between sleep study and CPAP, and that there was a large portion of patients who were lost to follow-up in the outsourced group. And this is a busy slide, but it's my last slide, just summarizing some of the points I've brought up regarding solutions. So one, we're expanding our offering of telehealth to bring community care back into the VA. We're implementing more home sleep testing, which is more convenient for veterans, especially the rural veterans, and is more cost effective. And we're splitting up our standard episodes of care, so if care does need to be outsourced to the community, we can be very specific about exactly what is needed to avoid duplication of previous appointments. I'd like to thank my mentors, Dr. Katie Sarmiento and Dr. Mary Hooley, as well as our geospatial outcomes colleagues who helped with the maps, and the Portland VA team, Connor, Alex, Micah, and Dr. Hines, for their statistical support. Happy to take any questions now. Do you have any questions? Just a couple of questions. Go ahead.
So thank you for a great presentation. I'm so glad to see you come back to your exclusion criteria, because I was worried when you originally put that
sure.
There was differences in their exclusion. So just to help me understand is, sure. Do you have a sense on the VA exclusion? You obviously didn't call all 2,000 of those mm-hmm. people.
But I did chart review 10% of them.
Is it a similar problems on the VA side?
No, it's actually not, because what's happening on the VA side is they're not getting lost to follow-up, but they're choosing alternative therapy. So if they don't have sleep apnea, they don't have sleep apnea. But if they do, they'll ask about, well, can I be referred to dental? Or if I have mostly sleep apnea when I sleep in a certain position, can we try these other things? So even if they get CPAP a little bit later down the line, it's because they're trying other things first. It's never, at least in the 10% of the charts I reviewed, it was never because they weren't offered one.
And have you guys at all talked in your group about reference pricing, such that you would set a price for what VA would pay for would be mm-hmm. the home sleep testing? And if a veteran wants to do a sleep study at a facility, that they could do so, but they would have to pay the difference. Have you thought at all about it?
I have not personally talked about that. I'm sure Katie, Dr. Sarmiento, has some comments on that, because that's what they've been looking at.
Well, and I don't know if Austin's still here, but he's done a lot of that kind of stuff too.
From an operations perspective, no, that's not been talked about. We don't find that most patients have enough awareness of the difference between the studies right. or really asking for one or the other to be informed and able to make that. I think if provided a bill for an in-lab compared to a home, they would certainly opt for at least to start with a
sleep study. Steve, did you have a question?
Yeah, it seems like part of this is what's happening across the board among the VA services.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if you made a conscious decision to fight the market as we're both adding opportunities and options, but also trying to preserve VA services. So it looks like you have fighting spirit going on here.
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, my goal is just to provide the best care for the veterans. And as a clinician in clinic, what I see often is when the care is outsourced, there's delays, right? And so I wait 2 years and then the sleep study comes back. And so I think part of it is trying to figure out new innovative care delivery models, which is what we're trying to do in sleep by implementing home sleep testing. And when the, I didn't include all the qualitative side, but we're doing qualitative interviews with the patients to also know what their preference is. And by and large, a lot of them have asked to stay within the VA healthcare system, if at all possible. Sometimes they've actually commented that they haven't been given the option to stay within VA when choice was implemented, that they'll just be choiced out. And if they had been given an option, they would have stayed.
All right. I want to keep on schedule. So thank you so much. It was fantastic.